May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Seven hundred and eighty-seven. I can beat it. Up until about 8 years ago, I was rector of a really ancient parish church over on the border between Surrey and Kent. It had been a site of worship for thousands of years, ever since the New Stone Age. There on the edge of town was this ancient burial mound at the top of a stony field. Nearby ran an ancient track called Barrow Green Road. And just out of sight, there was this huge tumulus. This must have been quite a gathering place for the clans during the Neolithic. We were still there on top of that mound, still worshipping all these years later, because when the Christian missionaries arrived, they built a church on top of that burial mound, and they dedicated it to Mary. So, for a thousand years and more, Mary's birthday has been celebrated there. For some reason, Mary's name had been put on that place, overlooked by the North Downs, and just a step away from what was later to become the Pilgrim's Way. We know that the Canterbury pilgrims came down to the church and came past because they left their graffiti in the stonework. When my wife and I both retired, we came here. Our daughter and her husband were already worshippers here. And here is another ancient building that has Mary's name on it. I would guess from its proximity to the river that this might have been a Roman settlement like at Lullingston in Kent. And maybe early Christians did gather by the water here to worship, but I can't prove it. But what is the significance of having a church named after Mary? It must have been of some significance to those who built those churches and dedicated them all those years ago. The traditional idea was that you were putting yourself under the protection of your patron saint. You could look to your patron saint for help. The deal was that you gave honour to your patron saint and your saint would pray for you and help you in unspecified ways. But during the Renaissance and during the Reformation, we were encouraged to think about these things and to check with the scriptures so that we could be sure that we were doing things right. So we can then ask, how can Mary help us? How can Mary help us? It's great to gather on a patronal festival to celebrate Mary's birthday with bunting and balloons and a rainbow down there as well. It's lovely to do that. Because of all that history, and because particularly of the Christmas story, we can really have a great affection for Mary. As for how she can help us, well, these words from the beginning of Mary's song, the Magnificat, can give us a clue. My soul, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. We will have sung the Magnificat twice during this service. Once at the beginning with Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. And then again during the communion. It's a lovely thing that Mary wrote. And she said, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. These words of Mary's addressed first to herself and then to all of us tell everyone about the effect her faith in God had on her life. And they hold for us the secret of all deep Christian joy. Thinking about them and learning their lesson can seriously affect our lives for the better. This is clearly one of the ways Mary has helped Christians in the past and can still help us today. We learn from Mary that in order to have real and lasting joy in our lives, we must take our place in God's family. And by our communion and our fellowship, we are in God, living in Him who is the place where our souls are safe. Mary will have been aware that one of the old prophets had once written, "Let those who dwell among the rocks rejoice and sing." Well, if we are going to sing a song that lasts, it is not going to be the short and ephemeral songs of those struggling to make their living on the rocky soil which this world affords. They need to find their place on the rock himself, the rock of ages, Jesus Christ. We know that this world's songs are ephemeral. The psalmist wrote about those in exile in Babylon who said they couldn't sing the Lord's songs in their exile. Not that long ago, there were those floods in New Orleans, and the music of New Orleans was silenced by a single storm. The joyful songs became cries of fear, anger, and despair. Our earthly songs can easily be silenced. And this year we've been remembering the last year of the Great War. It was just like that during those battles a century ago. During that war, the songbirds on what remained of the trees on the battlefields would sing a few notes every time there was a lull in the roar of battle. But when the crash began again, the song would cease. That's how it is with the songs this world sings. But Mary teaches us to sing a new song. No longer do we sing just a few notes now and then in the pauses of life's struggle and discontent. Mary teaches us a song that can persist and make us strong, even as the waves of anxiety break and earthly music ceases. This new song, this salvation song, sings even when there are tears in our eyes, even when we feel bereavement and loss, and farewells have to be said, and our future is uncertain. Mary is showing us how to sing not an earthly song, but an eternal one, a song without end. And this, too, is a way in which Mary can help us. Those who rejoice in God have a joy like Mary's. It is a joy that sings on through all the roar of the battles of our lives. It sings through the darkness of the darkest night. Troubles will come to all of us. Troubles came to Mary and will come to every Christian. But Mary shows us that they do not rob us of our joy. Like Mary, we may come to a moment of deep sorrow, like the sorrow she had when Jesus died on his cross for us. But all the while, there is a fountain of joy welling up in our hearts, though we don't always notice it. Someone likened it to a freshwater stream that runs down the beach into the sea. Twice a day, the brackish tide rolls over it. But the spring never stops flowing. And when the salty waves have rolled back, the fresh waters of the spring are still as sweet as ever. That is how it is with Mary's joy. That is how it is with every Christian's joy. It is like a spring of cool, refreshing water welling up in our hearts. Even in our sorrow, we have a deep peace in our soul, though sometimes it is lost to our sight. Then, when the sorrow is past, the joy springs up as fresh as ever. The permanence of any joy depends on the source from which it comes. If the source of our joy is in God, as it was for Mary, then this old and fallen world has no power to take the gladness from us. The song sang in her heart from the moment the angel spoke to her. She was there on the day of Pentecost when she saw the church born. She saw the story of her son and her saviour right through to the end. So I can end by saying, "Thank you, God, for the help that Mary gives us." Amen.